He's got too much pine tar.
Sloppy yeah. Jalopy. They were doing the Chris Davis fishing for it.
Might be going to call George Brett out.
Well, he is. He's out.
Yes,
Brett is out. Look at this. Brett is out.
And Demon Matt.
He is out. And having to be forcibly restrained from hitting plate umpire Tim McClellan.
Too much pottar.
way too much pottar.
Welcome back. Another episode of Too Much Pod Tar. It's now the off-season discussions start. It's going to be, as we just talked about before the show, it's going to be a slow off-season. It's going to start off pretty slow, and then maybe towards the end, like when as we get closer to spring training, and that's when people are going to start signing free agents, and a lot of them will be at the end. But it also depends on the what happens with COVID, and then if it comes to an end or whatever, or what's going to happen with the 2021 season, we don't know yet, really. It's going to be tough to tell right now. But for this show, we'll be talking about the Dodgers mostly, what they should do in the offseason. I got Kevin Klein back with me. He was on the World Series preview show. So welcome back, Kevin.
Hello. I am back. You can follow me on Twitter at Klein25. Hope you're doing well, Alex. How's everything out there?
Doing good. I can complain because it's 2020, but I mean, it's not as bad. I haven't had a really that bad of a time, but it's hopefully we get some better, greener pastures here, as a whole.
Yeah, it was a very slow, rough 9 months or so, but out in LA, you know, the Lakers, champions of the world, and now the Dodgers. So it's looking better. It's looking better.
Yeah, and I just want to mention, too, RIP to Alex Trebek, the Jeopardy host. He's obviously a big-time name out there. He was a legend, and, you know, he died of cancer at 80 years old. So rest in peace to the legend there. Yeah, it was yesterday that he died, or 2 days ago now. I think by the time I get this out, it'll be 2 days after he died on Sunday. So, so let's dive into here. The Dodgers, obviously, as you said, the champions of the world. And, you know, they took the first World Series since 1988. So that was huge for them. It was really good World Series as well. It was enjoyable, even with the whole situation that we were in. We needed something like that, like a World Series like that. So that was awesome to watch that unfold. And I don't really want to dive into too much of the Justin Turner situation, but that was kind of a big thing the other day that they announced he's not going to be facing any suspensions or anything or fines. So after that whole situation where he came back out onto the field, even though he tested positive. So I don't know if you want to just give a quick thought, your quick thoughts on it.
My quick thoughts are every party involved didn't seem to handle it the right way. There was just a lot of confusion, but I'm glad that Justin Turner ultimately is not going to be punished, because I think when you read the whole story, no one was really giving him a definitive answer of what to do, and his teammates actually encouraged him to join them, and they were all technically exposed to COVID for who knows how long anyways. So it is what it is, and we can just move past it and focus on 2021 and the offseason that we have in store.
Oh, yeah. And I think the whole situation was weird in itself. It was, like you said, it was just not handled right altogether. So he was pretty much a scapegoat in that situation, like the way it happened.
But, yeah, I agree.
But yeah, and he's Speaking of going into the off season, he's a free agent. He's 36 years old now. Do you think the Dodgers will re-sign him to bring him back?
So the way I look at it, we don't have a for sure answer on the status of the DH for the 2021 season, but I was just reading this morning, Buster Olney, he now strongly believes that they will implement the DH in both leagues for next season. And I mean, that's kind of huge if you're a player like Justin Turner, who is declining on defense, up there in age, as you said. Probably is not going to be a full-time third baseman if he were to re-sign with the Dodgers, but by all accounts, it looks like Justin Turner wants to remain a Dodger. I mean, he grew up a Dodgers fan. He's from the area. And the Dodgers teammates really love Justin Turner. You have players referring to him as the heart and soul of the team. And then just from the Dodgers front office perspective, he's a good veteran presence to have. If you go off a full sample size in 2019, he hit left-handed pitching pretty well around the 280 mark. And hitting lefties is always something that the Dodgers need for whatever reason. They just don't have great numbers against them. So I think if the DH does return, then it makes it almost a lock that Justin Turner will re-sign with the Dodgers, because I don't think money is the top priority for him at this point. I think it's more comfort. I could see the Dodgers maybe throwing a two-year, $24 million total deal for JT. So that's kind of how I look at it.
Yeah, I can definitely see that as well. I'm hoping the DH stays, because I don't understand. Like, why would you do that for this year and then all of a sudden change it back? Well, Rob Manfred is going to do what he's going to do. He's just – I don't understand why he's still the commissioner. But, like, because he's just trying to make all these stupid changes. He wants to keep the extra inning rule, the guy at second base, an extra. And he wants to also have like 14 teams in the playoffs, which is, I don't understand why. Because it just ruins the whole, they ruins like what the regular season is about. Then you have like last year with the Brewers and Astros both under 500 and making the playoffs.
I don't really want them to expand the playoffs to 8 teams per league. That just seems just too much.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to 12. I think 12 is the one where I'm like the cutoff. Like, I think 14 is too much too. So 12 is like, it's not too many at least.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see 14 maybe for. If they ended up expanding two more expansion teams in there, like if there ended up being 32 teams and 14 is not really that crazy, but that probably won't happen for a while though.
Yeah. So the Dodgers have two more position players that are also entering the free agent market. Utility man, Kike Enrique Hernandez. Mm-hmm. He's a right-handed bat. He can play pretty much any position other than pitcher and catcher, and then Jock Peterson, outfielder, left-handed bat. I actually think both of them are going to move on to new teams. I'll start with Hernandez first. It's nothing against him. He was actually graded out as the best utility defender, I think it was by Baseball America, but I think there's going to be a lot of teams that just have more playing time for him, and the Dodgers aren't going to bring him back, not because it's anything on his talent. They just have a lot of guys coming up in their farm system that they want to give them their fair share. So that's how I look at that situation. And then same kind of goes for Jock Peterson. They have some upcoming outfielders such as DJ Peters and Luke Raley that they want to give some playing time to. And the Dodgers were willing to trade Peterson. We saw last offseason to the Angels, but the Angels, for whatever reason, changed their mind, and that kind of backfired on them. So I do think Peterson is going to move on to a team that's going to be in the hunt. It's hard to pinpoint which team exactly, but I definitely think it could be an AL team just because Peterson is declining on defense, so he can give that DH and outfield flexibility, although that point will be irrelevant if it's a universal DH, but that's just kind of how I look at those two other position players for the Dodgers.
Yeah, I could definitely see the Peterson to the American League team angle, especially if the DH isn't a thing in the NL, because, yeah, like you said, with his defense is not the greatest. But, I mean, obviously this isn't the Yankees pod, but I would like to see the Yankees maybe try to get him, because they need left-handed batters. It would be a good addition, I think. But it kind of depends, though, because Stanton, I think they want to keep him at DH mostly, so I don't know how that would go.
Yeah, I think if they can make it work, Jock Peterson would be a great fit for the Yankees. Could always use a clutch bat, and I think he's a significant upgrade over Brett Gardner at this point.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I don't think they should even bring him back. If they do, it'll be like a really cheap deal.
I see.
Yeah, but another guy, the Dodgers is a free agent, Blake Treinen. So, what are your thoughts on him? Do you think they should bring him back? Because he was a pretty big piece to their bullpen this season.
Yeah. So, I'll just list off all the pitchers real quick, and then I'll touch on Blake Treinen. So, our free agent pitchers are Blake Treinen, right-handed pitcher Pedro Baez, left-handed pitcher Jake McGee, and left-handed pitcher Alex Wood. And then they also declined their option on Jimmy Nelson, making him a free agent. So Blake Treinen, I do want to see them bring him back. I think he is one of the best relievers out there. He loved being a Dodger. He said that himself. He loved being teammates with Justin Turner. He also mentioned that it seemed like whatever task Dave Roberts handed to Treinen, he embraced it, and he almost always got the job done. The one thing that does concern me about Blake Treinen is that lefties had hit him well in 2020. They had like a 300 batting average against him. But with that being said, when Treinen is dealing, he can throw a sinker ball tailing at 98 miles an hour. I mean, if teams are smart out there, I know money is going to be an issue. I think he is going to receive a lot of offers. I do want the Dodgers to bring him back, but when we talk about the other free agents out there, I do think there are some options out there to replace him. So that's where I stand on Treinen. Pedro Baez is a guy that really has driven me crazy over the past 6 or 7 years that we've had him. He can be lights out if it's a clean inning situation, I guess you could say. You know, he'll retire the guys down in order, 1, 2, 3, no problem. But whenever Roberts summons him in a loaded jam or men on base, Baez just always seems to collapse. He does that on an annual basis in the postseason as well, which is something you don't want to see. I think he is actually more likely to come back than Blake Treinen, just because he is cheap labor out of the bullpen. I don't think he's going to receive more than maybe $5 million annually, if that. And just he's been a pet project for the Dodgers for quite some time now. I don't think they're ready to just let him walk away. So wouldn't surprise me if Baez returns. Jake McGee, I don't think he's going to come back. He throws just way too many fastballs. I'm talking like 96% of the time. He just wasn't even a factor in the postseason for the most part. He was solid for us during the regular season. He got the job done, but I think we have other options that we have to use. And also considering we expect the roster size to be reduced back to 26, I believe. And then Alex Wood, I don't think he'll come back either. He wants to be a starting pitcher. He had signed with the Dodgers in the first place to be a starting pitcher. There are people speculating that he could be like a Drew Pomeranz type of guy out of the bullpen. But it's ultimately going to be up to Alex Wood if he wants to embrace that role or move elsewhere and try to fight for a starting spot. So that's kind of where I stand on the four guys I just listed.
And just to break off from the Dodgers again, real quick, there was we did get a free agent signing, the first one the other day with the Blue Jays re-signing Robbie Ray to a 1-year contract. He's a guy that has plenty of upside, just never really found it. Maybe the Blue Jays are hoping they can get him going, but he has high strikeout numbers, but he just walks way too many batters, and I don't know if the Blue Jays can find something with him. This last year he had 6.62 ERA, 1.9 WHIP, 68 strikeouts, 45 walks over 51 2/3. It's kind of a tough situation there for the Blue Jays rotation. I don't know how that's going to be. It's him. Well, Ryu was pretty solid this past year, and then Tanner Roark, and then obviously Nate Pearson is going to be a big guy in that rotation as well. So we'll see how it goes. The Blue Jays they have like the bats right now, but the pitching is just a big question mark for them. So.
Yeah, it makes sense. My view on the Blue Jays is that they really need starting pitching badly. And, you know, they did get Ryu, and he's finishing in the top three in Cy Young voting. I obviously saw a lot of Ryu because he was with the Dodgers for so many years. And, you know, his first season went very well in Toronto. And then Robbie Ray is a guy I saw a lot of as well, him being an NL West guy and facing the Dodgers pretty often. My thing with Ray is that control just seems to kill him, especially this season. He just couldn't seem to locate any of his pitches. But when he's on, he's a strikeout machine. His velocity did drop quite a bit. That's kind of concerning to me. And he also changed his pitching windup. So I don't know how Ray is going to look in 2021. But 1 year, $8 million, the upside is certainly there. And, you know, it's not a huge risks type of signing. So we'll see how it works out. But, yeah, Blue Jays definitely need some starting arms to get through next season. Because they have the bats, like you said.
Yeah, for sure. It's not really risking anything, so you might as well take a shot on him to see if he can work, like, get him to be right like he was. You know, what was it, 2017 to 2019, he wasn't too bad. And then he started getting really struggling, though, at the end of 2019, I think.
Yeah, I think 2017 was definitely his peak season. One stat that I know about him, it was either 4 or 5 starts. It was some type of record against the Dodgers where he had, I think it might have been eight plus strikeouts for each start against the Dodgers, which is something no starting pitcher had done in one season against the Dodgers.
Wow.
But then we faced him in the postseason, and they had his numbers, so that was cool. Right. So the trade rumors, if you want to talk about some trade rumors involving the Dodgers, so the big one is Francisco Lindor. There are already a few insiders reporting that Dodgers have minor interest in Lindor. This is a guy the Dodgers had inquired about exactly a year ago. It didn't work out because the Indians were insistent on having both Lux and Dustin May in return for Lindor.
Yeah.
Now Lindor is in the final year of his contract with the Indians. I would say it's about an 85% to 90% chance that Lindor is going to get dealt this offseason. I just don't think it's going to be the Dodgers. The reality is we don't need him.
Yeah.
You look at the infield, Max Muncy is going to be first. Now you got Gavin Lux. We're hoping 2021 is going to be the season he's able to break out. Didn't happen in 2020. Corey Seager, shortstop. And then at third base, Justin Turner, whoever they re-sign. I do have a guy that I like who I'll touch upon in a few minutes or so, but I think Lindor is going to be dealt to, honestly, I think it's going to be New York. I just don't know which team it's going to be. Yeah. I think the Mets are a strong possibility, but I also really think the Yankees, need to go for him. So as a Yankees fan, I'll let you say your thoughts.
Yeah, that was actually my thoughts too. I think he'll be either Yankees or Mets. And I would really love him to be on the Yankees. I think the way it would go, though, I just kind of hate is just that they wouldn't be able to re-sign DJ LeMahieu. Because if they trade for Lindor, then he'll be at short, of course, and then they'll move Torres back to second, and then probably have Voit at first. I don't think they would really want to try to put LeMahieu at first and trade Voit. I think Voit is just too big of a bat, especially after he had that season he did last year. I think he's got to stay. Just kind of tough seeing LeMahieu walk, but I think they just need to get that, like, the big switch hitting bat in the lineup and have better defense at short as well. Because Torres, just even though he was a natural shortstop, last year he didn't have good defense there. So I think moving back to second would be key, and having Lindor at short would be really huge for that lineup and the defense.
Do you think that the Yankees are going to have to trade one of Clint Frazier or Torres to get him?
I think the more likely one is probably Frazier, just because you still have enough outfielders that you to work with for them. And especially maybe if they go after another free agent like Peterson or even Michael Brantley, they don't really need him there because they still have Judge, they still have Hicks and Stan. I know obviously they have injuries, I know, always big there, but I think Frazier's the guy that would most likely be traded there in that situation. But unless, you know, they do re-sign DJ, and then you can trade Torres. So I don't know, but I do think one of them would definitely have to be traded for that, or even maybe Voit in one of the trade for Lindor.
Yeah, I agree. The weird thing with the Indians, which I've been saying for quite some time now, is they're in a tricky spot. Yeah. Where they're able to compete, and they don't want to tank and rebuild because they have the foundation at pitching, but they don't seem to have the money to sign the bats that they need. And now with Lindor entering free agency in a year, like, they honestly have no choice but to move on because they're not going to re-sign him. And they desperately just need cheaper offense, and they've been trying the last couple of years and it hasn't been working out. So getting Lindor dealt for some bats is definitely the move they need to make, because they have it at the starting pitching. Like, it's question there. So that's my thoughts on Lindor. There's a player that you mentioned that I am going to talk about who I've been teasing already, but there is another rumor bat that I want to just touch on real quick. Chris Bryant is also a name floating around.
Yeah.
The Cubs, I don't know how to phrase it other than they just made a lot of bad signings, and now they seem to find themselves in a payroll jam, and Chris Bryant is going to be a free agent also at the end of this upcoming season.
Yeah.
And it honestly kind of seems like he's fed up with the Cubs too. That's just my viewpoint on things. He has not been himself the last few seasons, nowhere even close to that 2016 MVP year. Personally, myself, I love Chris Bryant. I think he is, when healthy, one of the top third basemen in baseball. Also love his versatility, that he can play some outfield as a right-handed bat. He hits lefties very well. I don't know if the Dodgers can essentially fleece the Cubs, almost like they did with Mookie Betts and the Red Sox, but if they don't re-sign Turner, or they don't want to re-sign Turner, I would love to see them acquire Chris Bryant for a year in a season where Bryant essentially has to reprove himself so that he can maximize his paycheck come free agency. And then Nolan Arenado is also a name being floated around. He's a Dodger fan growing up. He's from the area, but he's just making too much money. Yeah, I don't think he's going to fit with the Dodgers just because we have to commit so much money elsewhere. I do think Arenado is another strong candidate to get traded. I just don't think it'll be the Dodgers, but
yeah, I don't honestly don't know where he would end up. Like, who's? I mean, I guess it could be even the Mets there too. Like,
yeah, it could be the Mets. The Cardinals are a team that really want him.
Yeah,
and they can afford him, but. Yeah, those are so far the names in terms of batters that I've seen on the block.
Yeah.
Now I'll talk about a free agent who I think would be a great fit for the Dodgers. It's DJ LeMahieu.
Oh, God.
See, the thing with the Yankees is everything that I've been reading is that they are in kind of a payroll mess.
Yeah.
They are, I think they're either at or about to surpass the first second luxury tax. You can correct me on that. And they need to sign pitching, like with Hap, Paxton, and Tanaka all becoming free agents. Mm-hmm. They got to prioritize on pitching. So I don't know how LeMahieu is going to fit in to their payroll plan unless they find a way to shed some salary. I still think he is more likely than not to return to the Yankees, but the Dodgers have about somewhere in the range of $19 to $27 million in free payroll, and a guy like LeMahieu fits this team perfectly. We could move him to third base. Now that would mean Justin Turner has to go elsewhere, but that's fine with me. I mean, I'm looking at the numbers. LeMahieu led the league in batting average last season, 364. Also on base, 421. In 2016 with the Rockies, he led baseball in batting average, 348. He can also hit in the postseason. I've seen him come up with a numerous amount of clutch hits. So, you know, he's not like, I'm not like clinging to life like we need this guy. But I think of all the free agents available, he would fit the Dodgers perfectly. We could bat him third. He plays great defense. I mean, you see him every day. You know what he brings to the table. But I think the Dodgers are going to pursue LeMahieu, assuming we have the payroll flexibility and that LeMahieu's request with a contract aren't too luxurious. I think somewhere along the lines of like maybe 4 years, $64 million or so, that would be something he would take. Maybe he wants more, $80 million for 4 years, but somewhere along that range, I think he's going to get.
I did an article on him for like the free agent profile, and that's what I had it listed as around $4 million. I mean, 4 years, $80 million. So, like, that's, I think that's where it's going to end up along those lines. It could even be higher, but I think 80 million is probably where it's going to be, like 4 years.
Yeah. And then the other kind of interesting scenario is that most of these teams aren't looking to spend money just because the market is really rough for a lot of these small market clubs since they weren't able to get their attendance money from fans. And when you have teams like Cleveland that are looking to shed payroll, I think there's only going to be a small handful of teams like the Mets, the Dodgers, the Yankees, they're looking to spend, but I just said how the Yankees are flirting with their payroll maximum, so I don't know if they'll be able to bring back LeMahieu if they have to focus on pitching. Meanwhile, the Dodgers, the only area we need to work on is the bullpen, but you can sign tons of bullpen arms for cheap. So if they don't want to bring back Trinan, then maybe they just give LeMahieu the contract that he's looking for. And then the other offseason priority, and this is a big one, this is number one, they need to extend Corey Seager. He is in the final year of his contract. He is a Scott Boras client. He's only 26. He'll be 27 on April 27th. I think they got to give Corey Seager an extension that will take him to about age 34, 35. So maybe 7 or 8 years, you know. When healthy, you can argue he's the best shortstop in all of baseball. I don't think he's going to be their shortstop for the long term. He is not. He's an average defender, so maybe they'll move him at first base one day, but or third. But yeah, you cannot let Corey Seager enter the free agent market. Teams are going to swarm after him like honey smeared on wood by a pack of bears or something.
Yeah.
He's just too good to have to enter a bidding war with. So Andrew Friedman, I'm sure he's already thinking in his head how we're going to extend this guy. I mean, he's essentially surprised the world when they were able to extend Mookie Betts for that 12 years and they hadn't even played a game of baseball yet. So I'm sure Dodgers front office is already thinking ahead, and it would not surprise me if any day or week we see it tweeted out, the Los Angeles Dodgers and Corey Seager agreed to an 8-year extension or something.
Yeah, I think it'll happen. I don't know when, but it could be end up being in the like during the season or something. But I think it'll definitely happen for sure. Like, especially after that World Series, you can't let him go. Or after the NLCS and the World Series.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They. It just makes me laugh when people, before the season had begun, said Corey Seager is just not clutch in the playoffs. He can't come up with big hits. Like, I just don't see it in this guy. He's not a top 10 shortstop. And then literally from the first game, the wild card round, came up with a home run and just was on a tear the entire postseason. And I just love that he can hit both lefties and righties. He doesn't get fazed in the big moment. So to me, if I had to choose between him and Cody Bellinger, I think I would honestly stick with Seager. At the end of the day, I think they're going to keep both just because they're both Dodgers farm guys. But for me, Corey Seager is, besides Mookie Betts, Seager is the guy I would want to lock up for the rest of his career. So that's pretty much that's pretty much it. The relievers that I do like out there are Liam Hendricks. I think he would be a great fit. Kelly Jansen just isn't closer material anymore, so I would love to see them sign Liam Hendricks. I don't think the Oakland A's are going to bring him back, and I just love all of the advanced stats on Hendricks. So keeping my eye out on him. I like Brad Hand too. He also had a good season, so I think they got to sign one or two relievers. Stocking up our bullpen is just the way to go. And then we got to find a new first base coach because George Lombard took the bench coach with the Detroit Tigers, serving under A.J. Hinch.
That's another topic, too, the Red Sox bringing Alex Cora back and the Tigers bringing on A.J. Hinch. It's a whole different topic, but that's just I hate it so much because like literally a year after they were outed from the cheating scandal, they get to come back and coach that. Like, it's stupid. It's ridiculous. Like, I don't even have words to describe how annoying that is. Pete Rose is still banned for life, and you get these guys coming back after just one year.
My thoughts are this. I am disgusted that these teams had the audacity to bring back coaches that were involved in maybe the most heinous crime in Major League Baseball history. I just don't understand how you can't be banned for life for literally cheating. Like, this isn't even just minor cheating. This was probably the most sophisticated and malicious way to cheat in Major League Baseball history. And for AJ Hinch to get a job offer almost immediately after his suspension time was finished, I'm just disgusted with the Tigers, and I wish nothing but failures for them. And then it doesn't surprise me that the Red Sox would bring back Alex Cora. You know, a team like Boston just doesn't have the class like most teams do. 2020 was going to be a bad year for them anyways. The writing was on the wall. So Cora almost got just a vacation. And
yeah,
when he comes back, like it's not going to affect his win loss record. You know, he'll get to keep the same win percentages, and I'm sure the Red Sox will be better than they were last season. So he'll be viewed as a hero when they're all of a sudden good again and competing. So it's just, it's disgraceful. Yeah, and the other thing that's kind of funny with the news breaking just recently is the fired GM of the Astros, Jeff Lunau, is now suing the Houston Astros because he believes that he was scapegoated and that the owner, Jim Crane, made a deal behind their backs with Rob Manfred where they had basically put the fall on a few guys so that they could keep their World Series trophy. And that doesn't surprise me one bit. I think Jim Crane is, he tried to look like he was the hero by firing these guys, but he's just as guilty as all of them. He knew what was going on, and he just wanted that. He just wanted the trophy more than anything, so he tarnished the game so that he could get his way.
But it didn't affect the game, apparently. That's what he said.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Oh, my God. I really hope, I need fans back in the stadiums next year so we can go to freaking, I can go to Yankee Stadium and when the Yankees face the Astros and boo the hell out of the.
Yeah, they deserve all the boos. And hopefully Michael Brantley is on a different team, maybe like your Yankees, so that because he wasn't involved in any of that. So
no, I would love him on the Yankees.
Yeah. So yeah, I think I can't think of any other Dodgers offseason stuff. So if you have questions or other teams in the NOS, I'm ready.
I guess this one question is who do you think is going to be the biggest contender to take down the Dodgers next year? Like the National League in general.
Yeah. So some of that I think will have to do with where Trevor Bauer lands.
Yeah.
He is without a doubt the best starting pitcher on the market. It's kind of funny because I think it was MLB Trade Rumors projected Bauer to go to the Dodgers. I just don't think I see that coming. I think they projected he was going to get like 4 years, 120 something million, which would be about 31 annually. Seems like a lot of money for Bauer, but you know, he's certainly very talented and could be worth it. The team that I think will take down the Dodgers in 2021. Well, if I look in our division, I don't think the Padres are there yet. I actually think that Mike Clevinger trade is going to backfire big time. Mm-hmm. And then who knows what the health status of Lamont will be when Mackenzie Gore is ready. You know, he could be close to Kershaw-esque status, but he hasn't even touched the big leagues yet, so he'll be a rookie. The NL Central, yeah, no teams there. It's kind of a lousy division. You know, I did like where the Reds were going, but if they lose Bauer, that's definitely a step backwards.
Yeah,
Cubs are very overrated and in a money pickle, as I mentioned. And the Cardinals are solid, but they just aren't there yet. So yeah, I mean, we gotta look at the NL East. It's gonna be either the Braves. Maybe the Braves may become very aggressive. They gotta upgrade at starting pitcher for sure. Maybe they find a new third baseman. I had heard they might be going for Chris Bryant as well.
Oh yeah.
But you know, the sleeper team is definitely the Mets. You know, this is a team I have been against for about 4 or 5 seasons now, and I've been right just about every time. I feel like they've always been very overrated by the media.
Yeah.
But now they have a new owner who is very rich. He's got a lot of money to spend. So if they can sign or acquire another big name starter, and then they get Syndergaard back in time for the second half of the season. You know, they're good on that front, and they just need to find the bat. So if they acquire Lindor, or they sign LeMahieu, or they acquire someone else big, then the Mets are, I think the Mets are that sleeper team. I don't know if 2021 will be their year necessarily, but I do think they are going to win an NL pennant in the next 3 years.
Yeah, I agree with that. And even as a Yankees fan, I always root for the Mets to do good. Like, I don't understand the Yankees fans who are like, don't want the other team in New York to do good. It's like, we're not actually rivals. We're just like, we play in the same city, but the Mets are just never good. So it doesn't really make it a rivalry. I mean, obviously if the Subway Series, I would be rooting against them, but
yeah,
that's the only thing. That's only the only time I actually like hate on them is when they're playing the Yankees.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of that way with the Angels, too. That's kind of the closest resemblance, even though the Angels are technically a different city, even though they pretend to be in Los Angeles when they're not even in the L.A. County. But yeah. I've never, like, passionately hated the Angels or anything. Like, I've always wanted them to do well. I want to see Mike Trout get into some postseason games. Yeah, I would love to see them surround him with the right talent. And a Dodgers-Angels World Series was always something I would like to see one day, but I don't know if that's going to happen just because Angels ownership, Artie Moreno, guy is kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. But this is not a bold statement, but I do think the Dodgers, with no surprise, are going to win the NL pennant again in 2021 unless injuries just take a toll on us. But I don't think any NL team, I do think there are a couple AL teams that could beat us, but I don't think there's any NL team right now, no matter how many moves they make, are gonna take down the Dodgers next season.
Yeah, it's just we'll see what happens, because I mean, I didn't think anybody could take them down in 2019, and then the Nationals came out and did their thing. But so there could always be a team like that just comes out of nowhere, like, and that could be maybe the Mets. That,
yep.
You never know.
Yep, exactly. No, baseball is no guarantee, and the Braves had the Dodgers in a 3-1 deficit, so I know what elimination feels like.
Yeah.
This was another year where it just, you know, after that game 4 loss, I was like, oh no, here we go again. But this time they bounced back, and there hasn't been a team to repeat as World Series champions since the Yankees back in like 99-2000. And yep. Even so, they made it back in 2001. So it just shows you it's really hard to repeat.
Yeah, baseball is the toughest sport to do that.
Yep.
I mean, in basketball, you had the Warriors do it. Well, Warriors Warriors and Cleveland both were in the finals for all those years in a row. So
yeah, NBA. You always have a few outliers, but for the most part, it always seems like teams win their titles in like waves. Like,
yeah,
early 2000s we had the Lakers, and then the Spurs would win a few, and then, you know, the Lakers won back to back in 2010 and 2009, and then the Warriors had their dynasty, and of course the Bulls, they won their 6-3-3, two separate little increments. So but baseball is just different.
Yeah. And now the Lakers are about to go have another three-peat, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm not too high on them unless they make the right moves. I know this is a baseball show, but last season the Lakers were my pick to represent the West, and they did it while most people were on the Clippers. And I was like, no, the Clippers aren't going to do it. They just don't have the chemistry. But I think this year, I think the Clippers terminating Doc Rivers was the right move. And we'll see what happens in the offseason, but I definitely think they're in a good position to potentially win the title.
Yeah, and you can't sleep on the Nuggets either. They looked really good this past season.
Yep.
It's going to be weird, though, like, they're not even getting much of a, like, they're not even getting much of an offseason for basketball. It's going to be, because they're starting, I forget when they were starting training camp, I think, in October, like, beginning of October, I mean, like, Christmas, I mean, beginning of December or something.
True, the season, their season's going to tip off the 22nd of December, I think the last I saw. But I love the NBA, so I'm all for it.
Yeah. I know the beginning of the season is going to be really boring, though, because, like, everybody's going to be resting their stars, well, especially the Lakers and the Heat.
True.
Because, like, literally, LeBron's definitely not going to be playing right off the bat.
True.
That was just a little bounce around to other sports, but.
Yeah, I'm looking at the hot stove, and I don't see much news out there.
No, it's been slow so far, but I think it will be slow for a while, like we said.
Yeah. The Dodgers, this is probably the first year in a long time where I can say with some comfort knowing we just don't have to do a lot. They put together the core that they've envisioned. They brought in the outside talent, like Mookie Betts, to help cement everything. And they have 5 or 6 really good starters, depending on if David Price opts in next season.
Yeah.
Because we didn't even get to see him at all yet as a Dodger, which is kind of remarkable considering David Price. You know, he's kind of a borderline Hall of Famer. I don't know if he'll get there, but you can definitely – he definitely has a case to be considered a Hall of Famer. But when healthy, he's obviously really good. And then more emergence expected from Dustin May and Julio Urias. So we'll see. You know, I just think they got to shore up the bullpen and – have insurance back there, because losing Trinan would definitely hurt, but if they can add a guy like Hendricks or Shane Green or Brad Hand, then they'll be fine.
Yeah, I could agree with that. And yeah, we'll see if the Dodgers can repeat for the first time since, you said, 99-2000, when it was the Yankees. That was their three-peat, the Yankees, of course, 98, 99, 2000. But, yeah, that's Dodgers, you know, what they should be doing in the offseason. We just discussed every team. We'll be continuing these pods for every team this offseason. And, of course, we'll be mentioning moves that are made on for any team. Like, no matter what pod it is, we'll be talking about all the moves that have been made up to that point. But, yeah, keep listening to this podcast. Keep checking out our articles on Primetime Sports Talk. You know, and, yeah, we got the NFL season going halfway at the halfway point now. So we got a lot of stuff going on there as far as gambling goes and DFS and all that stuff on the site. So keep checking that stuff out. And, yeah, you can never have too much pod tar. Thanks for listening.